If you're a dentist and you're working as an associate right now, there is a question in the back of your mind, whether you admit it or not. Should I stay at this associate job or should I find a practice and become an owner? You may be thinking, hey, I'll just wait another year, another 2 years. There's no rush, no big deal, right? Waiting is not playing it safe. Waiting any longer than you already have is throwing away money, time, and opportunity for the freedom and control that you as a dentist deserve and have earned by becoming a dentist. Today, I'm going to show you why you cannot afford to wait another day to become the owner of your own business. My name's Chris. I'm a dentist. I've been a practice owner myself, and I now help dentists become practice owners. So here we have your two options. You can either stay as an associate or you can become an owner. Let's say you're seeing roughly 20 patients per day at your associate job, and you're able to produce about $5,000 per day. That's a very reasonable number for most dentists to be able to produce. If you have an associate job where you're keeping 30% of your production, that means you're earning about $1,500 per day. It's not bad. It's enough to keep you complacent. It's enough to cover your bills. The problem is you have student loans to repay. You have a lot of taxes to pay as a dentist. You have a lot of expenses just before you can even start taking money home. $1,500 a day might seem like a lot, but it's actually not as much as you think. As a dentist, you're probably not going to be able to work until you're 90 years old, so you're going to have to put away some money towards retirement. You also deferred years and years where you could have been working at a job, and instead you were in school where you were not making any money at all. By the time you start working as a dentist, a lot of your peers may have already been working for 10 to 15 years out in the real world making money. And so you now have to catch up with everyone who has been working. And you also have to save for retirement because you simply probably are not going to be able to do dentistry for your entire life. So all of a sudden, $1,500 per day doesn't seem like as much as maybe you originally thought it might be. Now let's compare your other option of becoming an owner. Let's say you see the same 20 patients per day. You are producing roughly the same, $5,000 per day. But there are a few key differences. When you are the owner of the business, not only are you keeping a percentage of your own production, but you're keeping a percentage of everything that's done in the office. That means if they're a hygienist, that means if they're an associate dentist, you're keeping a percentage of that as well. On average, I have found that owners are able to see the same number of patients and make roughly twice as much as they were able to make when they were working at their associate jobs. So now, instead of earning $1,500 per day, you're now earning $3,000 per day. That makes a big difference. That's twice. Now, keep in mind, you're still seeing the same number of patients. You're still producing the same exact dentistry. You're doing the same crowns. You're doing the same fillings. You're doing the same hygiene checks. Yet you're making twice as much as you were making when you were working at your associate job. Let's say you're working about 180 days a year, which is pretty typical for a dentist. That puts you at about $270,000 per year. Once again, that's not terrible, but remember, that's before student loans. That's before saving for retirement. That's before paying taxes. But remember, we're comparing what if you became an owner, doing the same work, seeing the same number of patients, producing the same, doing the same exact thing you were doing at your associate job. Now, instead of making $270,000, you're making $540,000. Every single year that you're staying at your associate job, you're potentially losing out on $200,000 plus per year that you could have been making doing the same exact work if you were owning your own business. We're talking $15,000 to $20,000 every single month that you are losing out by not pursuing ownership. Now, does every owner make $540,000 per year? No, not necessarily. But does every associate make $270,000 a year? No. Let's say instead of seeing 20 patients a day, you're only seeing 12 patients a day. And instead of producing $5,000 a day, you're only producing $3,000 per day. These numbers are going to be lower in that case, but they're still going to be directionally the same. You're still going to be making significantly more as an owner. Either direction you choose, we're talking same number of patients, same hours, same work conditions, but guess what? Completely different outcome. So let's say instead of becoming an owner, you decide you want to wait just 5 years. You say, oh, I'll buy in 5 years. It's really not that big of a deal. Even being conservative, let's say you're making $150,000 less per year. That's being fairly conservative. Most likely the difference is going to be larger than that. But we're being conservative here, $150,000 per year, and you just wait 5 years. That adds up to $750,000. So you say it's not that big of a deal if you wait to become an owner? You're talking $750,000. Think of all the things you could buy with $750,000. You could buy a very, very nice house. In 5 years from now, if you buy a practice and you do things right and you buy the right practice, you could have a house, $750,000 house, fully paid off, no mortgage, because you worked as an owner instead of an associate. Now, of course, we're going to have to factor in taxes, but what we're not counting here is, what if you invested this money? What if you put this money into the stock market, into the S&P 500, something like that? This money is only going to grow over time. If you make this $750,000 early on in your career, and then you invest it until retirement, this money is only going to compound over time. So as a quick illustration, here's what it looks like if you are comparing ownership versus working as an associate. Here we have time, year 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, and 4, and then maybe 5 over here. On the y-axis, we have income. And here's the money you're making as an associate going up. Great. You know, a little bit of savings after year 1, a little bit after year 2, depending on how much your expenses are. But if you were an owner, look at this line. It's just going up. This difference here, this is the difference between ownership and working as an associate. The longer you wait, the further this gap is going to become. If you're just 1 year out of school, it's not that big of a deal. You know, you've maybe given up $100,000, maybe $200,000 in opportunity cost. But if you wait till year 2, look at this gap. If you wait till year 3, 4, 5, if you wait until year 5, you have now given up $750,000 in opportunity cost. I don't even want to get started on if you wait until year 7, 8, 9, 10. If you look at the ADA statistics, something like 80 to 90% of dentists eventually become practice owners. The question is not if you're going to become an owner. You're eventually going to realize that you're tired of working at your associate job and that you want to become an owner. You're going to figure that out eventually. The question is, are you going to do it after 1 to 3 years, or are you going to wait until you're 5 to 10, maybe more years in, and you've lost out on a huge income potential by waiting so long to make that decision? Why not make the decision now, and then you have the money to show? Why would you wait years and years giving away money to someone else by staying at your associate job? So the obvious question is, if ownership is so much more profitable than working as an associate, why do so many dentists stay at their associate jobs? There's actually 3 big biases that we see in psychology that I want to make sure that you are not falling trap to. The first one is called the sunk cost fallacy. Oftentimes we as humans continue doing something because we've already invested a lot of time, money, or energy into it, not because it's actually the best decision moving forward. One common example of this is, let's say you go to the movies, you paid $45 for your tickets, you bought a bunch of popcorn and snacks, you sit down, you start watching the movie, and you realize, hey, I don't like this movie. This is not enjoyable. I'm not having fun here. Sunk cost fallacy says, I paid $45 to come here. I bought $20 worth of snacks. I'm not leaving now. Like, I already spent so much. I'm already this far in. I might as well finish it. But if you're not enjoying the movie, why sit there? Get up and leave. Why waste your time? You already wasted your money. Why also waste your time? Just because you've already worked at that associate job for 2 years does not mean that it's not extremely expensive for you to stay there. The associate job that you are working at right now is extremely expensive. Staying at your associate job is probably the most expensive decision that you could possibly make this year. Remember, this associate job that you are working right now is costing you something like $150,000 per year. You might right now be sitting at your associate job trying to decide, are you going to buy that new thing? Are you going to go on that trip? Are you going to do this new experience that's going to cost money? Maybe it's $500, maybe it's $1,000. And you're thinking, oh, that's expensive. I don't know if I should be spending $1,000 on that. You're spending $150,000 this year just so you can stay at that associate job. Do not fall for the sunk cost fallacy. This next one is huge: loss aversion. There's been all sorts of studies that have looked into this, but we as humans, when we lose something, it's more painful than if we gain something of equal value. We tend to focus on the things that we lost out on rather than focusing on the things that we have gained at or done well on. Tied in with loss aversion is the negativity bias. We're afraid of change because of all the things that could go wrong. We're afraid of making a new decision because what if you end up making less than you made? What if you end up buying the wrong practice? What if you think of all of the bad things that could happen? And you decide, well, I'm just going to stay where I'm at because I feel safe. We tend to overweight the fear of buying the wrong practice, the fear of debt, the fear of change, But then we underweight the fact that you're literally losing money right now by staying at your associate job because of the opportunity cost that we already talked about. Don't let your fear of a future potential bad deal keep you stuck in a current bad deal. Most weeks I'm talking to something like 7 or 8 different dentists, and I have heard some of the most ridiculous stories from some dentists who are at the worst associate jobs possible. Jobs where they're being overworked, jobs where they are making pennies on the dollar. I've talked to some associates that are at practices where they're producing more than $1 million and yet taking home less than $150,000 a year. I want you to think that through. You are making such a fraction of the value that you're providing for that office, and yet you're afraid of leaving that job. I hear dentists say things like, well, if I turn in my notice now to leave, and what if I buy this practice and it falls through at the last minute and then I'm without a job? And they're afraid of all these things that could happen. It is so easy to find a job as a dentist. And it's oftentimes the dentists that are the most afraid that are at the worst associate jobs. Dentists who are making like $120,000 a year at a job that they hate, yet they're so afraid of losing that job. Losing your $120,000 a year job that you hate is the best possible thing that could happen to you, because literally if you just go across the street and work at Aspen or Heartland Dental, you're probably gonna be making double that and you're probably gonna enjoy your job more. And if you can just buy a practice, even if it's a mediocre practice, you're gonna make at least what you're making now, probably double, triple, or even more. And you're probably gonna have more free time. You're gonna have more control. Literally any other change that you make is gonna be an upside from here. And it's these same dentists that are so afraid that are at the worst possible jobs. Loss aversion, negativity bias. Be very careful that you're not underweighting the crappy job that you're at now when you have the opportunity for so much more potential. And yet you're staying stuck in this really, really bad opportunity just because you're afraid that you might make a mistake if you buy a practice, or you might find another job that you like less. The final bias that I want to talk about, and this is kind of the silent killer that a lot of dentists just kind of ignore. Status quo bias. People just prefer that things stay the same. You have a lot of decisions you have to make. You have a lot of things going on in your life. And you think, well, I just don't want to mess with that right now. I'm just going to stay at this job because it's fine. It's fine. I'm just going to stay here. It's fine. Because you've been an associate for so long, it just feels comfortable. It's just what you're used to. You're afraid that if you become an owner, it's going to be too much work. It's going to be too stressful. There's going to be too much going on. I'm not going to lie. The first year or so that you become an owner, things are going to be different. They're going to be more stressful. There's going to be some difficult times you're going to have in your first year during that transition. I'm not saying it's easy to become an owner. It's a lot of work. But once you figure it out, once you're a year or two into ownership, that's going to become the new normal. You're going to be used to being an owner. You're going to have found ways to outsource those tasks to your office manager. You're going to have the back office stuff outsourced to a lead assistant. And ultimately, you're going to end up having a very pretty similar job to what you're doing at your associate job. Just you're now being paid twice as much. You have so much more control. You have so much more respect. You have an asset in the practice that you can later sell. You're actually building equity in a business. You're making significantly more money each year. You probably have more time to go on vacation. There are just so many reasons why ownership is going to be better. And eventually, if you are willing to just make the transition now, ownership is going to be the status quo. So why are you staying at this bad opportunity working as an associate just because you're used to it? You are a dentist. You went through dental school. You took the dental admissions test, which is hard. It's a hard test to take. You made it through all sorts of crazy, difficult classes in dental school. You've learned how to do very complex procedures in very small locations. You're using indirect vision with mirrors. You're using loops. You're using lights. You're using technology. You've learned all sorts of terminologies. You've done all sorts of very, very difficult things to get to where you are. And now you're just going to say, I'm fine. I'm just going to sit here. Just you have one more step. You've made it this close to the finish line. You literally just ran a marathon and you can see the finish line. You're almost there. And then you just sit down. I'm fine. Status quo. I'm just going to hang out here at mile 23 when finish line is just there. You've got a little bit further to go. Once you are an owner, then you can sit, then you can relax because you've made it. But at this point, you haven't yet made it. You still got a little ways to go. So why now? Why in the year 2026 do you want to buy a practice? I don't know what the future is going to look like. I don't know what kind of practices are going to be available for sale in 5-10 years from now. Anyone who tells you that they know is lying, because no one knows what the economy is going to look like in the future. We can do our best guess. We can estimate, but we just don't know. What I can tell you right now is that if you buy a practice in 2026, there are a huge number of very, very good practices that are either on the market now or will be on the market soon. Currently, banks are willing to loan you up to 100% of previous year's revenue towards the purchase price, and sometimes they'll even give you a little bit extra that you can use towards working capital. Is this going to last forever? I don't know. Right now, the economics of buying a practice makes sense because the loan repayment that you're going to have is not as large as the differential in income that you're going to be making. So you're making significantly more if you become an owner. Yeah, you're going to have a practice loan to pay off, but that's usually only 10 years. After 10 years, that loan is gone, and now you're keeping 100% of that profit for yourself, putting it in your pocket, putting it into your bank. If you get started now, that loan's going to be paid off in 10 years. If you wait 5 years to get started, that's when that 10 years is going to start, and now it's going to be even longer until you have that loan paid off. And I don't know in 5 years what the interest rates are going to be. If the interest rates go up, there's nothing you can do. If the interest rates go down, you can refinance. We're still in a window of opportunity where the baby boomer generation is retiring at rates much higher than typical, which means there are more practices available now than there have been in the past. We're also at a point where more and more dentists are graduating from dental schools. Dental school classes are getting larger. More dental schools are opening. And so there's going to be more competition for fewer practices into the future, which only means that there's a chance that prices are going to go higher and there might be less availability to buy practices. However, right now, you can still buy practices. I helped over 40 dentists buy a practice last year. There are practices available for sale. So I want to paint a picture here of two dentists. We'll call them Dentist A and Dentist B. They're both 40 years old, bought a practice when he was 30 years old. Dentist B, on the other hand, bought a practice when he was 35 years old. Dentist A has the practice loan paid off. He took a 10-year loan. He bought the practice when he was 30. He's now 40. Practice loan is paid off. Dentist B bought the practice when he was 35. He still has 5 years left to pay off his practice loan. They're the same age. They've seen the same amount of patients over the last 10 years, but one of them has a practice that they fully own. One of them still owes a lot of money on that practice. Because Dentist A was working as an owner for 5 additional years, he was able to save up $2 million. Dentist B, on the other hand, because he was only working as an owner for 5 years, has only been able to save up $1 million. Dentist A is well on their way to being able to retire early if they want, or continue working at a reduced rate if they want. So many more options. Dentist B still has to work for a while because he has a practice loan to pay off. He hasn't saved up enough yet so that he can retire. Dentist A could realistically retire in the next 5 to 10 years if he wanted. Dentist B probably has another 15 to 20 years. Just because Dentist A bought a practice 5 years sooner than Dentist B, he's in such a better situation. Both of these dentists have been seeing the same number of patients each year. Both of these dentists have been doing the same exact work. They're producing roughly $5,000 per day. They're doing the same crowns. They're doing the same billings. But the difference between Dentist A and Dentist B is Dentist A bought right away. Dentist B waited 5 years. The real question you're asking here is not, do I want to become a practice owner? Because you're going to become a practice owner if you're a dentist. That's just how it works. You're going to figure it out. You're going to realize, okay, yeah, I want to be an owner. The question is, are you going to figure it out now? Or are you going to wait 5 years at this terrible associate job where you're losing $150,000 plus per year before you make that realization? The purpose here is I'm trying to help you make that realization now, so you don't waste the next 5 years of your life. The biggest possible risk for you as a dentist right now is that you stay put at your associate job and lose out on hundreds of thousands of dollars in opportunity cost. Does that mean you should just buy any practice or that you should just do a startup? No. I mean, in order to actually make an extra $150,000 per year, you need to buy the right practice. If you just decide, I'm just going to be an owner at all costs, and you go out into a startup and don't have any patients, you might be losing money for multiple years before you get enough patients in order to break even. So absolutely, you need to make sure you're buying the right practice. This is exactly what I do full time, is I help dentists make sure they're buying the right practice. Because if you buy the wrong practice, well, yeah, you might as well stay at your associate job if you're going to buy the wrong practice. But if you buy the right practice, it could be the most profitable decision that you potentially are ever going to make in your life. If you're willing to put in the time and the effort to make sure that you're buying the right practice, a practice where you're going to be profitable, a practice where you're able to make significantly more than you're making at your associate job, well, then it's a no-brainer. If you buy the right practice, ownership always wins.